Words were her weapon.
It took prosecutors less than 2 days to rest their case against Sheila Agee. Nearly 20 witnesses took the stand, but it was the jury that set the stage for the judge's decision. On Tuesday, a juror was found doing a crossword puzzle during witness testimony. Today, that same juror was found using another crossword puzzle during deliberation.
Okay, this has got to be the weirdest story I have ever heard about a trial. And I'll tell you, what you think is going to be my perspective on this, you may be surprised by it, okay? So, y'all have heard this. I assume you've been watching Channel 3. They covered it extensively. We've been talking about it a lot on our news. I haven't personally been talking about it. I don't cover a lot of trials and crimes. We talk about, you know, when I have the sheriffs on and the PPD on, we talk with them about what's happened. But otherwise, I don't usually cover a lot of crime and trial stuff just because. I have other things I would rather talk about, and just is. But in this particular case, you have the trial for, you know, what, the mom of the guy who committed the murder and has already been convicted. And the question is, what would she be, you know, would she be convicted as, also participating in this felony? Okay. And the question is, why did the mistrial get called? And I had, you know, I've been following this only at a distance. You know what I mean? These are not the stories I pay the highest, closest attention to. And then I was watching Channel 3 last night and I thought, wait, what? What? So, you know, first piece of, you know, information that we get is from the judge, who in this case is Coleman Lee Robinson.
Because of that juror, I find that the
Oh, sorry, let me back up just a little
the
bit.
The judge later called jurors in one by one, asking if they felt safe.
I got to hear his actual comments here. I didn't have that quite ready yet. Here we go. This was his first comment.
Just a single piece of paper.
He's holding up the paper.
With a crossword puzzle printed on one side, and I'm not sure what on the other. I cannot ever recall being aware of a juror doing a crossword puzzle during a trial.
And then he interviews all of the jurors one by one and talks to them.
Because of that juror, I find that the defendant cannot receive a fair and just verdict with this panel, and I have no choice but to grant the defense motion for a mistrial.
One juror agreed to speak with me after the trial. Sally Sue Smith admits she was the one with the crossword puzzle.
Pause it there for just a second. So there was some kind of complaint about disruption or threats or something, and this one juror, this one woman, was doing a crossword puzzle, apparently during the trial itself, and then also she was told not to do that subsequently, and then she was doing another one in the deliberations room in the jury room. And apparently it was like an 11-1, so she was, and she does not say this, but it seems reasonable to infer that the 11 wanted to convict and she wanted to acquit, kind of a 12 angry men situation, right? And so the question is, well, what in the world is going on that somebody would be doing a crossword puzzle when they're in the middle of a, you know, pretty serious felony charge trial?
Well, I didn't know that was a bad thing. I did not do it. I do that when I concentrate. I have something and I'm listening. You couldn't see the bench or the witness stand very well because it was dark. But I could hear it. I was listening and I just... That's just the way I do. I just do that. And I had no idea. And then when they told me that I wasn't supposed to do it, I stopped. And then today, when we went in the jury room, I had another crossword puzzle.
All right. So I imagine, as also I'm listening to Jake laughing over here, like just cannot believe.
This is wow.
It's a wild thing. All right. I'm going to be the voice you're not expecting on this one, in her defense.
Oh, wow.
In her defense, I love doing crossword puzzles. I haven't done them a lot in several years, but I love doing the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle in particular. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by about Thursday, it starts getting too hard for me. I've never gotten even close to a Saturday. They get progressively hard over the days, okay? And then Sunday is actually about a Wednesday difficulty, but it's bigger. It's a lot of fun. I used to do Sudokus. I've done all kinds of, like, brain game, you know, logic puzzle, all that kind of stuff my whole life. And I love doing those things. Would I do them during a felony trial? Maybe. You know why? Because sometimes things are so boring that it actually helps you pay attention if you're smart, to have something else to have your mind working on. You say, how can that possibly be? Well, let me tell you. I used to work at a radio station in Phoenix where my boss, he was a big believer, and I love the man dearly, okay? He was a big believer in the Tuesday morning department heads meeting. And for reasons that still to this day kind of exceed my capacity to understand, he thought that the afternoon show host ought to be in on the department heads meeting. Afternoon show host. 9 a.m. meeting. Not great for the scheduling. But I did because he was my boss and that was part of the job. And I showed up, and I will tell you that 93% of the time as we were having our meeting, I was doing a crossword puzzle. Not as a statement of defiance, but because they were so boring that if I didn't, I was probably going to fall asleep. And did it keep me from paying attention to what was going on in the meeting? No, it was fine. I have enough bandwidth in my brain that I can do a crossword puzzle and listen to a department head's meeting and pay close attention. In fact, it helps me pay attention better. You know, some people who are video gamers, they like to listen to music or a podcast while they're gaming because it distracts them?
So funny.
No, because...
Because it helps them focus.
It helps them focus. That's exactly right.
My wife, we were talking about games yesterday. My wife and I play Call of Duty, and yep, she's better than I am. But nice. When she turns on some music, even if it's like folk or Americana, something emotional, she'll turn it on and she'll start killing.
She'll crush you. Yeah. 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 That's it. I always have noise on in the background when I'm working. If I am doing show prep, there are a couple of times, like if I'm reading a Supreme Court opinion, I will sometimes turn the music off because it requires so much concentration that, you know, like every word you have to kind of work out. But generally speaking, if I'm reading the internet, I have a baseball game on. I might be listening to a city council meeting or county commission meeting. I have something going on. Music at the least. I mean, music is easy, like no problem. If I don't, my mind wanders. There's a woman, I'm trying to remember, there's this TV show called The Chaser, and they have these people who are great at Trivial Pursuit, like mm-hmm. James Holzhauer, and used to be Ken Jennings, and they have other people who come on, and, you know, they basically, ordinary people play against the great people at trivia, and the mechanics of the game don't matter all that much. What you might want to know is that one of the chasers, one of the trivia experts, her name is Victoria, I think it's Grossi is how you say her name, but I could be totally wrong. She's fabulous. She's personable. She's lovely. She's charming. She's delightful. She's funny. She's vicious with trivia. She knits while destroying these people at trivia. You say, well, that's so disrespectful. It helps her think. It helps her focus. How many of you have a grandma who does knitting or crochet while she's watching her shows?
Yeah.
Is it because she doesn't enjoy the shows? No, it's just because sometimes that show doesn't work. Now, I can't speak for this woman entirely. I'm super glad Channel 3 interviewed her because she basically said the same thing.
It became obvious to me right away that I was in the minority, like a minority of one against 11 people. I do have a loud voice, but I was being shouted down by a lot of people, so that's what happened.
You feel like anyone was threatened in the jury?
Oh, Lord, no. Nobody was threatened. Nobody was threatened. We just were arguing over how this was going to come out, what everybody thought about it, that we were talking about a defendant who, if found guilty, would have... First-degree murder is a big deal.
You disagreed with the charge?
I'm not saying that I disagree with it. I'm saying that it's something that has to be considered. You don't just lightly consider a first-degree murder charge. You think about it. You talk about it.
I want this woman on my jury. She sounds sharp, capable, reasonable, human. And whether she does a crossword while she's watching the trial or not, it doesn't bother me. Now, maybe it was... I'm open to the possibility that it was a problem. I am. I'm open to that possibility. All I'm saying is that the presumption that somebody doing a crossword puzzle is therefore enough evidence to call a mistrial in a case like this, I'm not convinced. 437-1620, 437-1620. I've long had this worry. I'm never getting called for a trial. I remember I actually did get impaneled for a jury. Well, not impaneled. I got called into the room, and this is who I am, and this is what I do. And then I saw a bunch of the attorneys went up to the judge, and they're like, yeah, no, no, no. And then the judge's like, your excuse. I'm like, yeah, because I know them all. half of them were in the Pensacola Police Citizens Academy with me, and I knew them from other contexts as well. But I can't be on a jury. I would be. I actually am irritated that I can never be on a jury. I would like to do it. I think as a citizen, I think as a philosopher, as a civic experience, like all of it. I want to do it. I cannot ever be allowed to do it. It'll never happen. But I have often thought, like, some of these rules are silly. Like, taking notes. You're not supposed to take notes. At least that's the theory from TV. Maybe it's not true in real life. Man, I take notes on everything. I would be irritated. You mean I'm just supposed to just remember? And I have a fairly okay brain. But I don't know. This rule strikes me as very weird.
To me, though, I mean, maybe I'm not as learned as most. And maybe I haven't read as many books or, things like,
Why'd you put books in air quotes?
I don't know. I mean, isn't that what you
are
do?
They not books?
They're books to me. I don't know. But I just haven't read as many of them maybe as you, maybe. But it would take all my brain power to do a crossword puzzle. I'm sitting there thinking, what's a four-letter word?
You ever played like some very simple card game like Euchre or Hearts with friends and talk?
Skip-Bo?
Yeah. Okay, Skip-Bo's a great example. Mm-hmm. Super simple card game, right?
Yeah.
You ever play a game like that? Does it take all your concentration?
Well, I got to count.
Do you?
I mean, sometimes.
Do you really?
But, if somebody's sitting there telling me, the secret of life, and I'm sitting there going, seven, okay, that's a red,
but that's
green,
the point.
Seven.
It's not, if it's super complicated, that's one thing. If it's not super complicated, having something else for an active brain to do might actually keep you more engaged rather than less. Driving, okay? Driving is super boring, super repetitive, super simple.
Yeah,
I know an awful lot of people who are better drivers, and I don't want to endorse it exactly, but because they're also, like, say, listening to a talk show.
Right.
Or listening to some music. That's right. Something else is going on. Because there's just not enough happening through the windshield to really keep your brain engaged. And highway hypnosis, distracted driving, can come from lack of need to operate your brain every bit as much as it can come from, four people are in the car, you're doing your mascara, you're eating your breakfast. I mean, I don't wear mascara, but, if I were. there are situations that can be distracting. There are other situations where sort of multitasking actually makes you focus better on stuff. That's just the way of people's brains. 437-1620. Somebody says, I was on a juror and I saw another juror nodding off several times. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, again, I don't know the specifics in this case. Is she just always doing crossword puzzles? Does she do it to keep herself awake? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons you might do this that would be perfectly valid, in my opinion. And from what I have heard, I haven't heard enough to say, well, that trial ought to be called a mistrial. And I always will defer to the judge. I will always defer to the judge and jury in a case. And so I'm not saying that Judge Coleman Lee Robinson made a mistake. I don't know whether he did or not. I don't know enough to know whether he did or not. But somebody doing a crossword puzzle in a jury room does not, that doesn't even rise to the level of me questioning it. Unless you have other evidence to show that that person doesn't know what's going on and when asked questions can't answer and doesn't understand the evidence in the case. Now, if that's true, you might say, by the way, we saw him doing a crossword puzzle. Oh, okay. But, if that's your starter, it's a non-starter. 437-1620. Somebody says, I disagree on how sharp she sounds. Okay, well, people have that's why you have juries, because people have disagreements. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Searching for the perfect Christmas gift? Stop by Pensacola Hardware for thoughtful, practical gifts that they'll love and use all year long. Shop local at our store in downtown Pensacola for hand-picked selections. From gourmet cookware like Le Creuset, Heston, Wusthof knives, to custom gift baskets, Yeti gear, and more. Whether it's an exclusive Pensacola ornament or the latest power tools, there's something for everyone on your list. Visit Pensacola Hardware at 20 East Gregory Street and make this holiday season one to remember.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Maximum effort.
On the other side of the street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one.
Good morning, 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The Justice Department wants a federal court to force Google to sell off its popular Chrome web browser as part of an antitrust case. The request was made yesterday. It comes after a court ruled in August that the company held a monopoly in the online search market. Department lawyers say spinning off Chrome, which is used on billions of devices around the world, would help to prevent an illegal monopoly from happening again.
What's the number one download on, what is it, Edge now? Is that what they call it?
Microsoft Edge. Yeah.
Bing, Explorer, all the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Just with different coats of paint, okay? What's the number one download on Edge?
Chrome. Well, it's the Google same Chrome. Thing it's been forever. Chrome.
That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, you got to go through 83 checks of, yes, I do intend to do this. No, I do not want you to be my default. Please go away. How do I delete Microsoft Edge off of this computer? Because I never want to hear from you again. Go on, David.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only use for Edge is downloading Chrome. Like 99%
exactly right.
of the
it
time.
It should come pre-installed with the quick link, yeah.
One of the world's richest men has been indicted in Brooklyn for allegedly defrauding investors in a solar energy project in India. Gautam Adani, an Indian billionaire and the CEO of Adani Group, is charged with seven other people for agreeing to pay more than $250 million in bribes to Indian government officials. And there's new poll out showing most Democrats want Kamala Harris to be the party's presidential nominee again in 2028.
Come on.
It's a head scratcher.
I've done this all wrong. Oh, please.
Yes.
Dream of my dreams, please make it so.
This poll was released on Wednesday. It found 41% of likely Democrat voters said they would choose Harris over Gavin Newsom and Pennsylvania Governor John Shapiro, despite her recent loss in the election.
Newsom came in second. This is the best news for Republicans ever.
This one shocked me. I saw this last night.
Wow.
That can't be real.
Did you?
I was looking for the Onion link at the top or something. Right.
No,
it wasn't there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you see the story about she paid the foundations for the interviewers before, like when she would go on a show? Al Sharpton, she did a sit down interview with Al Sharpton, gave $250,000 to his nonprofit. and he's of course MSNBC. Their campaign gave $350,000 to New Vision Media, but that's not the only one. Also interviewed by Roland Martin, the company run by him.
Like,
wow.
What in the world?
You're sniffing
a billion
sniffing
and a half dollars, and all of the different money thrown to all these different. I mean, her campaign is basically paying news organizations.
Yep.
Donations on the side to their charitable cause. It doesn't influence anything, but please give me an interview that might be so good. It's crazy stuff. Yes, crazy stuff. All right, David. Thanks so much for that. That's a wow. You know, I guess we win again in 4 years.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 22-page report from the Monterey, California Police Department made public late Wednesday by the Associated Press. A woman says Pete Hegseth was sexually assaulting her in 2017. The former Fox News personality and President-elect Trump's nominee to be defense secretary told police at the time the encounter had been consensual and denied any wrongdoing. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz, embroiled in his own alleged sex and drug use scandal, met with senators on Capitol Hill.
I'm looking forward to a hearing.
Republicans on the House Ethics Committee voted Wednesday against releasing a report on their investigation into Gaetz. Russia launches an intercontinental ballistic missile into the central part of Ukraine. If confirmed, it marks the first time Moscow has used such a missile in the war. About 336,000 people, Washington State without power, that from PowerOutage.us, due to that bomb cyclone that battered the region. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. At News Radio 92.3, I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 44 degrees, a little bit brisk this morning. An Escambia County school bus with 70 kids on board crashed into a ditch yesterday on Old Spanish Trail Road. There were ambulances called to that scene. Two kids were taken to the hospital. Officials say that was out of an abundance of caution. There were no serious injuries reported. That bus was carrying students from Ferry Pass Elementary School. The driver told troopers the turn was unfamiliar. The normal entry point had been blocked due to some construction. Florida Power and Light customers will probably see higher bills next year. Company officials say they'll be increasing their rates to cover the utility's hurricane restoration costs. FPL is asking the Florida Public Service Commission to approve a temporary surcharge on customer bills for 2025. Local FPL residential customers will see a typical bill increase of about $8.07 per month for 2025. Well, if you were on I-10 yesterday morning, you probably were staring at taillights for a while. There was a big crash that involved two semi-trucks and two other vehicles, and that apparently all started when a truck driver from California reportedly fell asleep and his truck overturned on I-10. That was in the westbound lanes there around 9 Mile. FHP says the truck and trailer ended up on their sides. The trailer apparently contained 37,000 pounds of cranberry juice. As the truck ran off the road, it crashed into another vehicle driven by a 93-year-old Pensacola man. His car hit an SUV driven by a 47-year-old Milton woman. And then further on down the line, when traffic was stopping, another semi had jackknifed trying to come to a stop. Senator Rick Scott says he believes Matt Gaetz ultimately will be confirmed as the new U.S. Attorney General.
I've known Matt since I started running for governor back in 2010. Matt's a fighter. He's smart. He has the president's back. He'll hold the Department of Justice accountable. So my experience with Matt has been very positive. So I hope he gets confirmed because I know the president needs somebody like Matt to run the Department of Justice.
And that is Rick Scott there from Pensacola's Morning News yesterday. He says he's known Gaetz, he's had nothing but good experiences with him, and he's been spreading the word with his fellow senators that he believes he would be the man for the job. President-elect Trump nominated Gaetz as his attorney general for his incoming administration last week. Well, the new airport terminal is making progress at the Pensacola International Airport.
We're in design currently. We expect to be at least 30% by March, April, and we expect to put a shovel in the ground starting next July.
And that's Airport Director Matt Coughlin. He says the project recently got a funding boost when it was approved for the FAA's Airport Terminal Program. That'll provide about $4 million in funding, but Coughlin says it'll also make it easier to qualify for more funding next year. The project is being split into phases. The first phase of work involves improvements at their current building to the security checkpoint and the baggage areas. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are waking up to a chilly start today. Temperatures in the 40s, warming up into the low 60s for highs. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day. Staying chilly as we head into your Friday. Temperatures starting off in the 40s, 60s for highs again. Overnight on Friday, dropping back into the 40s. Keeping the nice sunny weather around on Saturday with temperatures topping out around 63 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
44 right now across the area. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola is the area's premier bicycle store and full-service repair shop for all makes and models. They specialize in top-notch customer service with the largest selection of e-bikes around. Trek Store has a full line of bike accessories and racks and can fit all riders from a child's first to seniors. Locally owned and operated by Robbie Mott, serving cyclists for over 20 years, you'll experience the best at Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola, 701 East Cervantes Street, and online at TrekStoreGulfCoast.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson.
There's some significant breaking news on the legal front, which is why we are thrilled to welcome back to the show Andy McCarthy.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2.
We had Professor Turley on here yesterday talking about how this whole thing might go, how things might wind down or wind up, who knows. When it comes to the various prosecutions of former President Trump, now President-elect Trump.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2. Before Pensacola right now. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a really good opportunity to talk. We usually connect with the senator a couple times a year. I'd been wanting to talk with him ever since the election, and finally his schedule opened up, so we had a chance yesterday to talk to Florida Senator, former Governor Rick Scott. Senator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It is always great to speak with you, and I hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing great. And I still every day have to, every time we talk, I have to fight saying governor. Every time I almost call you governor.
Oh, I know.
It's just, you know, that's the way it is. So
yeah, that's a good job.
It's only been 2 weeks. It's crazy. It's only been 2 weeks since the election, a decisive win for President Trump. And you were very close to becoming the Senate Majority Leader. We were rooting for you to become from the state of Florida. We were so excited about that prospect, but it didn't turn out. Nevertheless, still major player in the Senate and lots of things afoot, including confirming nominees from the president, right?
Well, if you think about what we got to get done, Trump won, right? Trump has a mandate. Well, the problem you have is that when he won the first time back in 16, they still walked off his nominees. It was impossible for him to get his nominees confirmed. And so part of what I talked about when I ran to be majority leader is we're going to get Trump's nominees done. He's the president of the United States. And so one of the things we can do is if things are, if the Democrats block them, we can allow the president to do them by going on a recess for 2 weeks. And I think we ought to do it. So I like his nominees. I'm excited for so many Floridians that have been nominated. Matt Gaetz, Mike Waltz, Marco Rubio. I'm excited. He's putting together a great team of people. I think, if you look at it, he's going to upset the apple cart, meaning we're going to start holding government accountable, which is exactly what you voted for.
You know, obviously each of these nominees has their own pluses and minuses. I wanted to start with Matt only because obviously was our congressman and of course, representative from this area for a long time in the state house. He's the one I think a lot of people look at as very difficult to get passed through the Senate, not just because of Democratic opposition, but Republican opposition. And then the question, as you mentioned, it is, what do you do if he gets blocked? Do you try to put him in as a recess appointment or a temporary or whatever? Do you believe that the Senate has enough Republican votes to actually get him 51?
Well, let's see where this president is. This president has been slandered, indicted, convicted, all because this radical Merrick Garland and what the FBI has done. He needs him, Tony. He's going to fight for him. I've known Matt since I started running for governor back in 2010. Matt's a fighter. He's smart. He has the president's back. He'll hold the Department of Justice accountable. So my experience with Matt has been very positive. So I hope he gets confirmed, because I know the president needs somebody like Matt to run the Department of Justice. Because look at what's been. It's been something that has just been used as lawfare against Donald Trump to try to prevent him from becoming president.
So, not to follow up, but it sounds like you're unsure about 51. I mean, I know Matt's a fighter, and I know Susie Wiles is smart.
I think he'll get confirmed.
Okay.
I mean the guy. You know, Matt. There's a lot of people who don't know Matt, right, in the Senate. So I know him, and I tell people. Look, my experience with Matt has been very positive. It was great to work with when he was in the Florida House when I was governor. He's been great to work with since he's been in Congress and I've been the U.S. Senator. So, my experience with Matt has been great.
Yeah, and I said the same.
I tell people, everybody I talk to.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say the same thing. Very positive perception of Matt Gaetz. I've, spoken with him hundreds of times and, have great respect for him. Okay, so that's one. Two of the other ones that have really gotten a lot of attention. Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. This is the one that has given me the most heartburn, because I don't understand it. He doesn't seem qualified at that level for that kind of responsibility. Can you explain this one to me, or can you help me with this one?
So I've known Pete a long time. We have got to change the military. We have got to stop having a woke military. We've got to stop think about the last war. We've got to have somebody that's going to come and change things. As we know, we've not gotten in a better position with our military in the last 4 years. We've gotten a worse position. So here's what I know about Pete. He's smart. He's a hard worker. He served. So he'll go in there and he'll upset the apple cart. He'll start asking questions like, are we ready to defend ourselves against China? Are we ready to help our allies like Taiwan and the Philippines? Are we ready to help our ally Israel? So I think Pete is qualified, smart, and he will go start asking questions. If we do the same old thing, we'll get the same old result. I build companies. And, I start companies from scratch, and people say, well, you can't build anything. You don't know this industry. I built the largest hospital company from scratch. I never run a hospital. I built manufacturing companies. I've never run a manufacturing plant. What I was able to do is I was able to come in with a new outlook on things and say, what would I do if I started this from scratch? How would you build this industry? How would you build this company? And I think that's what Pete's going to do with the Department of Defense. It needs it. They can't even do an audit. So we get the exact same people. I mean, they cannot even audit the Department of Defense.
Right. Well, we could have had Secretary of Defense Rick Scott. I mean, it sounds like that would have been. I mean, I was actually pulling for
my job as senator.
I know you do. I was thinking Mike Waltz because of his level of experience too. But of course, he's going to be the National Security Advisor. We're talking to Senator Rick Scott.
I can do great.
Yeah, no, I think I'd love him for National Security Advisor.
And you know what's nice? I know these guys, and so I'm excited for them because I know they want to serve. I know they want to do a good job. I've known Marco since I started running back in 2010.
Great pick.
For him and
his family. He's a great pick for Secretary of State. He was built for Secretary of State.
Yeah. I'm excited for him.
The person who's going to fill Marco Rubio's seat, I think you've been pulling for Laura Trump, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think that's who the governor's going to appoint?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, she's totally qualified. You watch what she just – I met her before I met her husband, Eric. So she worked at E-Networks before that. Here's a hard worker. She's smart. Look at what she did at the RNC as co-chairman. I don't know what the exact title is, but she did a great job. I think she'll do a great job. I'm all in for Laura Trump.
The turn into kind of local questions, because obviously this is really relevant here locally, is, you know, what's going to happen to Matt Gaetz's congressional seat. We just had Representative Michelle Salzman on, who, of course, I know you know. Jimmy Patronis, CFO, has now said, apparently, and I mean, it's everybody's kind of like, almost, she's definitely in. He sounds like he's in. He carries a pretty big war chest. We thought he was going to run for governor. It sounds like he's now going to run for Congress. Do you plan to endorse anybody in this race?
I was waiting for you, Andrew. What are you planning on running?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, no, sir.
Don't even.
I don't endorse local races.
I'm holding out, waiting to see if you're going to run. I'm going to save my endorsement to see what you're going to do.
That's adorable. No, absolutely no. Also, I'm unelectable. I did want to ask you something that's been a local issue here that I know is just everybody in the country, I'm sure, deals with this. We have a local, you know, with CSX, the rail company, because of longstanding, very powerful, robust, you know, indifference to anything, they have these federal protections. They close down these crossings, and we just have to suffer through it for a day or two. Now, it's only a day or two, but it's really bad for a day or two, and there's very little communication, very little warning. It just kind of happens to us. Is there anything that this happened 8 years ago, it's going to happen again in 8 years. Is there anything that can be done at the federal level to make this better?
Let me find out. I didn't know anything about it. So let me find out, and what I'll do is I'll work on getting the right person from CSX to give you a call.
Okay.
Maybe he'll go on.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, I'd love to talk to him, or if there's any kind of a change in the legislation surrounding their rights and privileges. I just, it happens, and it's horrible, yeah. And then, you know, it feels like we all feel like we suffer,
you know,
from
Andrew,
it. And there's nothing to do.
I think how this happened, because I learned it when I was governor, is, you know who was here first? The railroads.
Yeah.
So they got, the government back then gave them a lot of rights because they were first. I've dealt with it a lot with regard to Bright Line up on the East Coast. So, but let me find out. I'll reach out to CSX.
Yeah, I agree. Their roads were here first. We're crossing their roads. I get it. It's annoying, but it's just true.
I know. That's what it is. They have the right.
Yeah,
crossing their train tracks.
Right. They were here
so
first.
Different what we think, how we think now.
I did want to ask you, only because it came up in the last day, to return to the nominations for a second. Linda McMahon for Secretary of Education. I read this as, and you tell me if I'm wrong, President Trump, ever since, you know, Reagan, we've been promising to shutter the Department of Education, which I agree with. I don't think it has a role either constitutionally or practically. Linda McMahon, to me, looks like the person he's hired to turn the lights off. Am I wrong?
I hope so. I know Linda. She's a good friend. I talked to her last night after it was announced. I talked to Linda quite a bit. I hope that's what happened. That's exactly what I believe. I believe we ought to... there's no reason we have a federal Department of Education. We ought to leave it to the states. As governor, let me compete. I'll show you we'll have the best education system. So everybody that wants their kids to do well will move to Florida.
You know, the one thing that I think you can look at is that, you know, weirdly, until 1979, we managed to educate children without a Department of Education. Isn't that interesting? For, you know, so long we managed
There's a lot of federal government we don't need, and we ought to let the states make decisions. You know?
Yeah.
If we don't, why do we have governors? Why do we have mayors?
Right.
I mean, if everything's going to make
school boards, why do we have school boards?
Why do we have them?
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I totally agree.
No, hey, yes, they're going to make them all.
One last thing, because I know you have a lot of opportunity to do things in the Senate, is if there is any way, and I know states control elections, but, you know, Florida, for being the, you know, the unlovable stepchild of 2000, has become the example of how to do elections. And we still have these ridiculous, slow reporting states like Arizona and New Mexico and other places as well. Is there anything that can be done to, even if it just means, you know, sending Governor DeSantis around in 2 years to fix all the elections, or our Secretary of Election, or something? It seems like there should be a way to make this better and more standardized.
Yeah, I think constitutional elections are done at the state level. It's hard. If you start going down that path, then what else do you take over? I think what we got to do is we just have to understand that when we have elections and it's part of why we elect people, and then we expect them to approve the election laws once they're elected. So I think, you know, by just talking about who's the best at things, I think hopefully some of these states will get better.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I certainly hope that as well. Senator Rick Scott, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. Again, I wish you'd gotten majority leader. You didn't, but, you know, there's always couple of years. And in the meantime, a lot of things to get done, and I know you're going to work hard on it. So thank you so much for the time this morning. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, I thought Guy Benson, actually, yesterday, I was listening to Guy in the afternoon, and he had a really good point that I love it when somebody articulates the point that I'd kind of been mulling over my head already. So I give him credit for that. Working around the Senate confirmation process is a bad idea. It's there for a reason. Now, if they won't confirm as a habit, you know, like they just won't do it, they're delaying, which, by the way, that argument kind of cuts against Republicans. Do you remember Merrick Garland and how we got a Supreme Court justice majority? Just, you know, be careful how that one cuts. But the issue of, you know, like putting a recess appointment in or, you know, some other way of temporary appointing somebody like Matt Gaetz, you don't want to practice that sort of violation because eventually Republicans won't be in power. Now, I mean, they will be if they run Kamala Harris again in 4 years. But, they, you know, there may come some other circumstance where Democrats are in power and they have the Senate. Or where they don't have the Senate. And you want to be able to, you know, make sure that you get reasonable nominees. And you're actually willing to confirm them if they're reasonable. You don't want to delegitimize and marginalize the power of the Senate to confirm appointments. That is an important constitutional check on presidents, executives picking crazy people for the cabinet. This is an important constitutional limit. It may be frustrating, but the Constitution was meant to be frustrating. I know the argument for everything Trump wants to do is let him get in there and just lay waste and hack down the forest and firebomb it all and fix it. Okay, I understand. I do. But the Constitution wasn't built to empower that. The Constitution was built to thwart power, limit action, avoid excess, and basically piss everybody off. I mean, that's what the Constitution is designed to do. It's designed to make you irritated by going slow and not allowing these wild pulls one way or the other. And so it is a bad precedent for the rule of law we believe in the Constitution Party to be so openly and eagerly advocating for workarounds to that annoying problem of Senate advise and consent power. So I am against that way of doing things. You know, if Matt or Pete or Pickett, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if they can't get through the regular confirmation process when we already have a 53-seat majority, that's probably evidence they shouldn't be the person doing the thing. Just because you won doesn't mean you get to work around all the rules. And you have to especially watch justifying abuses of power when you have the power. Because the shoe can be on the other foot at some point, and you don't want to create the possibility for somebody else to. That's the point of the Constitution is to deny the impulse to do things radically, quickly, wildly. That stability is a key part of why we have been a country for all these years and been so successful for all these years. Precisely because it's annoying. 554 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are 64, turning 65, or you are already on Medicare, or you are retiring, like if you're on Medicare and you want to change your plan or, you know, do something, you know, it's open enrollment time, Ricky Stewart, she can help you with this. She does this for people all the time. You might be getting phone calls. You might be getting emails, letters, making you stress out, worry what's going to happen when I change over and, you know, I don't want to make a mistake. Great. You've got questions. You want to know what prescription drug benefits are going to be covered. You want to change them if you're already on the plan. You know, you don't know what is supplement. What is Advantage? What is Medicaid? Does Medicaid apply to me? I don't know. What are all these words? I'm so confused. It's different because I've been doing private insurance all my life. Great. Call Ricky Stewart. She handles people with this stuff all the time. You know, she's a dear friend. So many of our listeners have worked with her, and she'll help you navigate all of that stuff. Ricky Stewart Insurance. Give her a call or look her up online, 341-2185.
Anderson Subaru has more Subarus than ever before, which makes this the perfect time to get the Subaru that you've always wanted. How about an Outback starting at $26,802? Crosstrek starting at $25,262? Or a Forester starting at $29,378? You'll love your new Subaru, and now you'll love the savings. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I got news for him. It won't be hell to pay. Because I ain't daddy's little boy no more.
So on this question of whether Trump is entitled or any president is simply entitled to their picks, regardless of what the Senate wants to do, somebody texts in and says, the Senate's there only to advise and consent. Yeah, consent. Consent is a big part of that phrase, not just advise. It isn't there to direct a president's cabinet picks. Gates wasn't charged. Let it go. Oh, I agree. I think that the investigation stuff, and by the way, just this is actually kind of a side note to the story. I think it's inappropriate to continually again and again and again repeat Matt Gaetz sexual allegations, Matt Gaetz drug allegations, Matt Gaetz minors, because you're making a fact out of an allegation by repetition. I just don't agree with saying it again and again. I think that, you know, there are certain allegations that just, even by saying the defense, you know, even by saying, Jim Thompson definitely did not molest that child. You know, like, you've associated him with a crime, with a horrible, terrible crime, by saying it didn't happen, the way the brain works. So I will come to Matt's defense on this. I think that the thousands and thousands of repetitions wind up being a form of defamation for allegations that have not been proven, that have not led to charges. But that does not mean that President Trump gets to make Matt Gaetz the Attorney General without the power of the Senate to confirm him. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline for us. Sorry, David, I gave you very little time.
Well, that's okay. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the buoy barrier is going back into the Rio Grande. The state installed that barrier last year. It was forced to come out. Now it's going back in.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.